I can tell next time if I'm preaching, I'm going before you. I can tell you that right now. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Thank you. So how do we tell who's our friend? How do we tell?
Tell.
Okay. How do we tell who's your friend? Do we have friends? We have friends at school, right? Okay, now I'm not talking about anybody we're related, like a cousin. Well, my cousin or mom or dad or brother or anything like that, right? I'm just talking about people that you're not related to, right? How do you tell if they're friend? Kind of how they treat you, maybe? How they talk about you, if they talk about you at all, but they would talk about you in a good light, nice way, right, exactly. That would be a friend, right? So the opposite of that, we can tell who a bad friend is, right? Somebody who does the opposite of that, right? Maybe talks about you. Somebody who's throwing rocks at you is probably not your friend, right? Okay, is Jesus our friend?
Yes.
How can we tell? How can we tell? Oh, yeah. How can we tell?
Because he loves us and he gave his only son for us.
Amen. Right. Yeah, right. Amen. Exactly right. Exactly right. Amen. Right? So we could tell Jesus and God, right, he gave his only son for us, right, are our friends, right? Are we a friend to them? How? How are we a friend to them? Veronica? I know you were trying to sit in back. I know. I got you. Got you. Okay. All right. We talk to them, right? Right. We talk to them in a good way. Okay. All right. All right. Right. We pray to them, right? But it's, don't we do, Jesus said to do his commands, right? So we follow what Jesus tells us what to do, right? That would make us a friend, right? Right. So we do. We talk about him well. We talk about Jesus good, right? Right? So we would be a friend. Jesus is our friend, and we would be a friend to Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, we all agree with that. Okay, let me change the subject. What about Skittles and what about Starburst? Are they our friend? Why? But they don't talk about you. They don't talk about you. They're always there. Skittles and Starburst are friends to each other, right? Right? Well, let's say you have a good dentist. Let's just say that. Okay? So, Skittles, again, I pose the question. Skittles and Starburst, are they your friend? I heard one yes. Jalen said yes. So, if they're not your friend, then you don't have to worry about this at all, do you? But Jalen said yes. And he passed them off. Right, right. Okay, guys, get with Barbara Streeter about that. And a good dentist, but I thank you for participation, okay? Thank you, guys. We are dismissed. Thank you. Don't eat it all at once. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is Skittles and Starburst your friends? I came up with that by myself. Could you believe that? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me bow my head and pray. Father God, again, thank you for another day, Father. Father, anoint my words, anoint my mouth, Father, but open every heart, open every ear, open our eyes, Father, just to hear the word, Father. Father, if I say anything out of line, Father, you know it's not on purpose, Father. But Father, I thank you for you are in my heart, Father. I thank you are in my mind, Father. I thank you that you are with me every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I received that Jesus was our friend. So I'm going through the, you could say the Bible, you could say line, you could say but just what I know of that, Jesus is your friend. Amen. And in John 15, and on our scripture of the week, John 15:15, but it goes back. Let me just back up to John 15 and in verse 9, and this is out of the NIV, and we'll stay in the NIV until I tell you different. It says, John, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. And now in John 15, he talks about, in the beginning of part, he's talking about the vine and the branches. And then after that, in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Amen. And in verse 15, I no longer call you servants, and depending on the translation, it says slaves, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen. All of that. But what I received was that in 15, because you're not a servant, you are my friend, because you know my business. You know why I'm here. You know the truth. Okay? The Pharisees, the Sadducees were not his friends because they didn't know his business. They were not his friend. They did not do it. And just as the kids, right? Someone who talks good about us, someone who treats us good, those are our friends. Amen? And that's what Jesus, that was intent. That is what it is. Okay? I came on an article. It was from Stephen J. Cole, pastor. He's out of Flagstaff Christian Fellowship. And he posed that same thing. You know, but he posed it as, is Jesus your friend? And he goes, are you a friend of Jesus, is what he said. But the Bible references Abraham and Moses as friends, okay? And in one part, it says in James 2 and in 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Okay, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So it's your actions, right? How you treat somebody. You treat somebody well, right? Treat somebody well. Yes, you can have faith all day long. Faith is small as a mustard seed. But how I treat, right? If I didn't treat Brother Charles well, right? He would be, he'd wait till after service, right? I mean, that would be, right. So how you treat. Okay, then he goes on, and even in the, for Moses, Exodus 33:11, he talks about that he is a friend. Talk to him as a friend, okay? But then he goes, would Jesus call me his friend? Okay, and the text, Jesus in 9, friends of Jesus love one another. They obey his commandments. They understand his truths. And they are chosen to bear fruit that remains. Okay, that was just out of what I read. Okay. And the Bible teaches us that nature all God's enemies, and we're sinners, basically. Okay, and he is holy, but we have been born sinners. Okay, Romans 8:7 and James 4:4 talk about that. And the bad news is, like, if God is against you, he's against you, okay? But then there's good news, okay? There's good news that God sent Jesus to reconcile our sinning lives, okay, to himself, okay? The self-righteous, the religious crowd scoffed at Jesus, okay, because he was a friend of sinners, okay? The tax collectors, right? Right, the sinners. He was a friend to them, okay? So the first step to being called a friend to Jesus is to come to him as a helpless sinner, asking him to save you. Okay, once you've done that, then you consider these characteristics of Jesus' friends and seek to grow in them. And number one, okay, friends of Jesus love one another just as he loves us. Okay, this is my commandment in John 15, 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Okay, that's pretty simple. That's pretty basic, pretty simple. Okay, just as I have loved you, greater love is no one than to lay down his life for his friends, as I command you that you love one another. Okay, in John 13, 34, it's kind of repeated here again, because he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And what he means is he's talking about his disciples, right, that they love each other. And even during the Last Supper, they were, in Luke 22, the disciples are kind of arguing, you know, who's the greatest, right? Who's the best, right? Who's the favorite, kind of. Okay, even then, the Last Supper, they really didn't get. And me being, you know, you could be an armchair quarterback, you can just look back and see what's going on, but it's kind of a petty squabble, if you will. You know, they're just arguing about nothing, basically. All right, who cares, you know? But in James 4, in 1 and 2, he talks about testing the faith, okay? But he also talks, there's a word in there, he talks about perseverance, okay? We need to persevere. And in petty squabbles, you just persevere. You just keep going. You know the truth, okay? Okay. See, and the Lord knew us. He knew that man was a little petty, if you will, maybe a little prideful, okay? Lord knew that towards our, and you could say it was selfishness, okay? Going in the final hours with his disciples, he hammered on the commandments to love one another. He wanted them to remember one thing, because love is not an option for those who follow Jesus, okay? You follow Jesus, you have to love one another. That's what you have to do, okay? That's what we have to do. Okay. Now, love for us is the extreme standard for love for one another. Just as he stated, he gave his new commandment, and he repeats it again. Okay, and he repeats it, but doesn't pastor repeats things too? And you can say, he kind of repeats, but he wants you to remember that. Okay, it's actually done intentionally, so you can remember what is being said. Oh, I remember that verse, because you're going to need that. You're going to, boom, hey, I remember that verse. I remember that one. Okay, we define Jesus' love as a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that shows itself to seeking the highest good of the one loved. Okay, the highest good of all people is that they would have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And once a person has come to know Christ, the highest good that has conformed the image of God. Those goals should be our aim in all our relationships, okay? Because love is a primary commitment. It is not so much a feeling, but it can be commanded, right? Love one another. The Bible does contain certain feelings, right? Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians, okay? Be anxious for nothing, Philemon 4:6, I'm sorry. And love should not be devoid of feelings. It is a caring commitment. If you love someone or something, you care about that, okay? People should feel our genuine feelings for love of them. But even when we don't feel especially loving, we need to obey God by sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others. I'm sure that the cross didn't feel good at the moment when Jesus endured itself, but he focused on the future joy of having us with him in heaven and for all eternity. Okay, in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. to lay down your life for your enemies is even greater. Right? Romans 5, in 8:10. Okay? He talks about, Paul points out that the fact that Jesus did, he died for us while we were still sinners, right? We were still his enemies. He died for his enemies. He died for sinners. Okay? In just another context, Jesus commanded that we love our enemies. And in Matthew 5, 44, he says that. But in this context, Jesus is speaking about love among friends. Okay? He will demonstrate his love for the disciples the next day on the cross. Amen? And that's the highest standard of love for one another. Now, I can say that I love my wife, right? And if anybody broke into our home, I would lay down my wife, my life for her. Lay down my wife. Whoops. Okay. Did I really mean? No, I'm just. But if someone, if an intruder broke into our room, would I lay down my life, right? Would I do that? Okay. But then if I'm not willing to get up off my butt from the couch while I'm watching TV and help her with dishes or maybe to help her with an appointment or do something like that, but I would say that I'd lay down my life for her. You see, actions speak louder than words. You see? All right, guys, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I've had a long day. You do it. Hey, right. But I lay down my life for my wife, right? I do that. Okay, sure. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry about that. I'll move on. Okay, John. And in John 15:9, okay, we already talked about that, but love only one another, and we abide in Christ's love. Okay, in John 15:9, Jesus said, "This is the just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Now, Jesus applies abiding in his love to our relationships to one another, right? Okay, abiding in his love is the key to loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, the two great commandments sum up, right? In Matthew 22, he talks about the law and the prophets, what is summed up, for that the love of God and the love of our neighbor, right? Okay, but the point here is that God's great love is for us, and as seen as giving his own son while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, and that should motivate us to love others, okay, what Christ did for us. In John 15:17, okay, Jesus repeats the command for us to love one another immediately after he's repeated the concept that he saved us so that we would bear fruit. The two are intertwined. When we gave this new command in 13:35, the first one with the neighbor, Jesus said that the others would know that we are disciples by the love we have for one another. Okay, here he ties our ability to bear fruit with his command that we love one another. As people see the love between Christians, they will be drawn to the source of our love, our Savior that gave himself for us and on the cross. Okay, so as we treat each other, okay, the outside, the world can see anyone who comes to visit, right? First-time visitors, right? May not be Christians. Okay, might be from the world, you know. Oh, I heard the praise team singing, and they drew me in, you know. But how we treat one another, okay? We are the example. Okay, it is interesting, that who Jesus picked, and let me just back up a little bit, or let's just pause for a little bit. So, of course, Jesus picked his 12 disciples, right? But he picked Matthew. Right? Well, Matthew was a tax collector. Okay? Do you think he was real popular with the other disciples? No, not at all. Because when he ripped off the Jews, he would pocket the money. Okay? And they knew that. But he had the Roman Empire backing him up. So that's why he got saved, or you could say saved his life then. Okay, the other one, it was called Simon the Zealot, right? And they were, the Zealots were a actively trying to overthrow the Roman government, right? Because they wanted the Jews back in power, right? They wanted that. So if you can imagine these two persons in Jesus's 12 disciples, one part of the 12 apostles, if you will, but just what was going on in there. Now, right, they had 3 years to kind of work it out, but it's really kind of funny how they, well, it's what Jesus sees, right? Right? He picks people, right? He chooses people, right? He chose a tax collector, and he chose someone who was up in arms that wanted to overthrow the Roman government to be part of his. Just think about that for a little bit, okay? They weren't obedient, okay? They had their own motives probably at first, but when they heard Jesus and talked to him, of course, but he chose them, okay? Does he do that in the church? Does he choose people in the church? And you're like, why would he choose that person? But he chooses. He chooses, okay? He does that. He picks people for his church that you would never be picked and commanded for, but he loves them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to like them, but you do have to say in your unselfishness that you're going to help these people because you love them. They are in the church. What the Lord wants them to do, friends of Jesus, love one another just as he has loved us. Okay? Friends of Jesus, obey his commands in John 15:14. Okay? You are my friends if you do what I command. I commanded you. This repeats the thought in John 15:10. Okay? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It doesn't mean that obedience makes you Jesus' friend. If it was earned, rather, it describes that Jesus' friends do. It's what Jesus' friends do. They obey him. He isn't friends with anyone who will live in disobedience or self-will. Just as we saw in 14:21, okay, the Lord will disclose himself and to make the home of those who keep his commandments. And then if you recall in Mark 3, Jesus was in a house and he's told that his mother and his family is outside, okay? And Jesus, it's the final thing that he says. He goes, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus' true friends are those who obey him. Okay? Okay, friends of Jesus, understand the truths that he had made known to us and from the Father. "No longer do I call you slaves, for slaves does not know what his master is doing." And in some references, it's called servants. "Is but I call you friends. For all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Even though Jesus here elevates the disciples from being slaves to being friends, okay, the relationship is not, it's just he elevates their relationship, okay, from a slave to a servant now to a friend. Because, right, slaves and servants don't know the business of the master. But now the master is calling them, "Hey, we're friends. We're on level. We're on level ground here." Okay? So he elevates them. He elevates the relationship. Okay? And then after the resurrection, he opened their minds to understand the scripture the ways that they could not understand before his death. Okay? So he knew they know about it. Now the Holy Spirit, okay, and the Spirit-inspired Word of God is revealed to us that we need to know for life and godliness. Do you know that there's scientists and philosophers that do not know the Word of God? They do not know. They don't understand. They don't know the living and true God, the one who spoke the universe into existence. They don't know the plan for history. They don't know that your sins can be forgiven, and you know, they don't know why you were put on a planet, and they don't know why you spend, they don't know how to spend eternity in glory. Okay? You know how he wants you. You know how he wants you to conduct yourself at all life's difficult situations. All life's difficult. You know how you are supposed to act. right? We're Christians. We know how we're supposed to act at all times. All of this is more is revealed to us in God's inspired word. So friends of Jesus love one another just as he loved us. They obey his commandments, and they understand the truths that he has made known to us from the Father. And then friends of Jesus are chosen by him to bear fruit. And that remains as they depend on him through prayer, okay? Okay, in John 15:16, okay? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that fruit of which remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name may be given to you, okay? Friends of Jesus are chosen by him. Probably Jesus' primary reference here is choosing these men as his apostles, but not their election to salvation. Okay, but the Bible is clear. God both chooses us for salvation, and sovereignty determines our spiritual gifts and station in life. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Corinthians, okay? It has been left up to us. If it was left up to us, none of us, okay, in our proud, fallen, rebellious way, would probably ever come to Jesus. Ever. Ever. Okay, but rather the Father graciously drew on him and opened our blind eyes to see the glory of Jesus. Okay? Okay, as Paul told the Corinthians, he said, God chose them as a foolish, weak, unimportant people so that no man may boast before God. They were chosen. Okay? If you're a friend of Jesus, it's because he chose you. That's why you chose him. Okay? And then the fruit mostly refers to converts. Okay? Is what it's talking about. Bringing people into the church, which was spoken. Bringing people, bringing the world to Jesus, okay? You just have to bring him. It's all you have to do, okay? Remain because Jesus promises to keep them. The main reason that God chose to save you is that you would help bring others to know the Savior. And Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 2:10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it the eternal glory. Paul suffered so that God's elect would hear the gospel and be saved. That should be our aim as well. Amen. And friends of Jesus bear fruit that remains through prayerful dependence upon the Father. Okay. God chose and appointed the disciples. The second shows how the purpose that will be fulfilled. And we can, I'll just paraphrase, I chose and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, abiding fruit, which you will do by asking the Father in my name. Okay? Well, it's good to receive training, right, on how to do all this and how to share your faith. There's always a need to keep in mind that making converts and going through Jesus Christ is not dependent on our methods of using sales techniques and to close a deal. Okay? We're not selling cars. Amen. Right. Only God can produce a convert who abides, and he does it through the supernatural new birth. Okay? Let God be God. Amen. He has to give life to the spiritually dead, so prayer is a God-given necessity behind evangelism. Before you talk to a person about God, we should talk to God about the persons, and we do that through prayer. Amen. How do we go about this, God? Just through prayer. Okay, coming to the end. So, in the conclusion, are you going to understand the truths revealed by the Holy Spirit in God's word? And would he know that you chose him to bear fruit that remains, and are you seeking to bear the fruit through prayer? And if you wonder, how do I know if God has chosen me? There's an answer. Have you believed in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? Amen. And if you have, that didn't come from you. You believe in him because in love, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Okay? And in Ephesians 1 and in verse 4,
says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us and belong to his dear Son. This is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us his kindness on us, although along with the wisdom and the understanding. God has now revealed to us this mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united in Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out in according to his plan. And let me wrap it up. The good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit of God guaranteed that he will bring us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Amen. That was out of Ephesians 1, and he started at verse 4. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all. Thank you. You see, are we a friend of Jesus? Now, we know Jesus is our friend. We know that. But are we Jesus' friend? Okay? And just as it said before, okay, if you want Jesus in you, okay, if you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay, you can be in prayer, okay, and just pray to him that Jesus is your Lord. You want Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's